Cut Your Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a book that tackles some pretty big ideas with surprising relevance, The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Now, you might hear Marxism and think, history lesson maybe, or even, failed experiment.
Oh, yeah.
But D'Amato argues it's actually a vital lens for understanding our world right now. Everything from, the economic storms we weather to the deep social divides we see every day.
That's exactly right. And this isn't just about, revisiting old texts. It's really about clarity.
Yeah.
Our deep dive today is all about distinguishing Marx's original ideas, which D'Amato argues were fundamentally democratic and truly liberatory from the authoritarian regimes of the 20th century that totally, distorted his legacy. Mm. It's about reclaiming Marxism as a powerful tool for understanding and maybe ultimately for changing society, not as some rigid, dusty dogma.
Okay, so who is Paul D'Amato then? What makes him the right person to guide us through something as complex and, let's face it, often controversial as the meaning of Marxism?
Well, that's a great question, because D'Amato isn't your typical ivory tower academic. He's a scholar, yes, but crucially, he's also been a lifelong activist. He spent decades deeply involved in socialist politics and labor organizing. He even served as an editor for the International Socialist Review.
Oh, interesting.
So think of it this way. He hasn't just read about the theories. He's been on the ground trying to apply them in real time to actual struggles for justice.
So his understanding isn't just theoretical. It's kind of forged in experience. He's seen these ideas, in action.
Precisely. Exactly. That blend of deep study and real-world application gives him a really unique perspective. For D'Amato, Marxism isn't some museum piece. It's a living tradition, a guide to action, as he puts it.
A guide to action.
Yeah. He's passionate about showing how these complex ideas are directly relevant to contemporary issues, whether it's labor rights, anti-war movements, or social justice campaigns. He wants to make sure theory serves a practical purpose for, everyday people.
That context is really vital, I think. So, okay, what's the central argument D'Amato wants us to take away from the meaning of Marxism? What's the core message driving the whole book?
At its heart, D'Amato argues that Marx's framework is still profoundly relevant for understanding and addressing the major social, economic, and political challenges we face today. His primary thesis is that Marx's analysis of capitalism as an inherently exploitative and, importantly, unstable system provides crucial, even startling insights into modern inequality, recurrent economic crises, and those persistent social conflicts.
Right.
It's not just a historical account. It's a powerful diagnostic tool for our current world.
So it's less like reading a history textbook and more like getting a kind of comprehensive blueprint for how society functions and maybe how it could function differently.
Absolutely, yeah. The book directly confronts that big question. What does Marx's analysis mean for us today?
Mm-hmm.
And it carefully dismantles common misconceptions, making a really stark distinction between Marx's original democratic ideas and the authoritarian regimes that later claimed his name.
Okay.
D'Amato argues that genuine Marxism is fundamentally about liberation and workers' self-emancipation, not top-down state control.
And who is this book aimed at? Is it for seasoned activists, or can someone who's just curious pick it up without feeling totally lost in jargon?
No, he specifically wrote it for a broad audience. It's for students, for activists, for workers. Really, anyone who's curious about socialist ideas but might have been put off by dense academic language or the heavy historical baggage that comes with terms like communism.
Yeah, that baggage is real.
Definitely. D'Amato truly wants to rescue Marx from both his hostile critics and the so-called false friends who twisted his ideas into rigid dogma. He presents Marxism as a dynamic, critical method for understanding social reality, not some fixed set of answers.
Okay, let's try and unpack some of these foundational ideas that D'Amato lays out then. He starts with what Marx called the historical materialist method. Can you break that down for us? It sounds a bit, complex.
It does sound complex, yeah. But it's a really powerful shift in perspective. Imagine if your job, your daily commute, the very way society produces what you need to live, your entire material reality was the primary force shaping your ideas about the world, rather than your ideas shaping your reality. That's basically Marx's historical materialism. It suggests that human consciousness emerges from our material conditions, not the other way around. We are fundamentally social creatures, shaped by how we labor and interact with each other and nature.
So it's about how our physical reality and how we organize ourselves to like produce things fundamentally shapes our thoughts, our politics, our culture. That's a profound thought.
It really is. And this leads directly to the materialist conception of history. D'Amato explains that the mode of production, how we collectively produce what we need, forms the material base of society. Yeah, the base. And this base, in turn, profoundly shapes the superstructure. That's our politics, law, religion, culture, all that stuff. Think about it. A feudal society with lords and serfs will have very different laws and beliefs than a capitalist one with factory owners and wage workers,
okay.
Right?
Makes sense.
So social change, therefore, isn't just about new ideas popping up. It's driven by conflicts within this material base, especially class struggle.
That really reframes how we look at history, doesn't it? Not just a parade of kings and battles, but a story of how people organize their labor. So once Marx built this framework, what did he reveal when he turned that lens onto capitalism itself? D'Amato shows us it all begins with understanding class.
He does. And D'Amato defines class not by how much money you make, which is how we usually think of it,
yeah,
but by your relationship to the means of production, the factories, the land, the software, the tools. Do you own them? That's the bourgeoisie. Or do you own basically nothing but your ability to work, which you have to sell for a wage? That's the proletariat.
Owner versus worker, essentially.
That distinction is the bedrock of Marx's critique.
Yeah.
And it brings us to one of the most eye-opening concepts, surplus value.
Okay, surplus value. This sounds important. This is where D'Amato really gets to the core of why maybe your boss isn't just greedy.
Right, exactly. It's systemic. When you work, you produce more value in a day, say, than your wage actually covers. That extra unpaid value, what Marx called surplus value, is the engine of all profit in capitalism. It's not a bug. It's the core design.
Wow.
This insight is incredibly relevant to understanding everything from how, you know, gig economy companies rake in billions while their workers struggle to how massive corporate profits are generated in traditional industries. It's built right into the system.
That's a really powerful realization. And from this idea of exploitation, D'Amato then explores alienation and commodity fetishism. Mm-hmm. How does capitalism make us feel, well, disconnected from our work, even from each other?
Yeah, he shows how capitalism profoundly alienates workers in several ways. You become alienated from the product you make. Maybe you'd never even see the final thing.
Right.
You're alienated from the creative act of labor itself. It becomes repetitive, meaningless. Alienated from your fellow workers, often pitted against them in competition. And even alienated from your own human potential, your species being, as Marx called it.
That feeling of just being a cog in a machine.
Exactly that. Think about a job where you feel like just a cog, or that pervasive sense of meaninglessness in many workplaces. That's alienation. Then there's commodity fetishism.
Right, commodity fetishism. That's how we stop seeing the human labor behind the things we buy, isn't it? We just see the product.
Precisely. Think about the smartphone in your hand. You see its brand, its price, its features. You probably don't see the complex web of human labor, the resource extraction, the global supply chains, the exploitation maybe that created it. D'Amato explains that the market makes the thing, the commodity, seem all important, obscuring the real human relationships and, crucially, the power struggles hidden behind its production.
And finally, in this section, D'Amato explains Marx's view of the state. It's not a neutral referee in society, is it? Not according to this view.
Far from it. D'Amato argues that the state, meaning the government, the police, the courts, the military, is fundamentally an instrument of class rule. Its primary function, he argues, based on Marx, is to protect the interests and property of the ruling class, the owners.
Even if it makes concessions sometimes.
Yeah, well, it might make some concessions to popular pressure, like, you know, workplace safety laws or something that's often just to maintain stability. Its core purpose remains to uphold the existing power structure, the capitalist system itself.
Okay, but this isn't just a static system. D'Amato really dives into the dynamics of capitalism, explaining how it works and why it inherently fails, or at least falters. Why is it so prone to these boom and bust cycles we keep seeing?
Well, D'Amato argues that capitalism, because it's driven by relentless competition and the need to accumulate capital, is fundamentally a chaotic, unplanned system. He emphasizes Marx's crisis theory, the system's own drive for profit, which involves squeezing wages and replacing workers with technology to cut costs, ultimately undermines its ability to sell everything it produces. People can't afford to buy back the value they create.
Ah, so it shoots itself in the foot, basically.
In a way, yes. This creates a fundamental contradiction, leading to inevitable economic crises like the Great Depression or the 2008 financial crisis. According to this view, they're not accidents, they're features of the system.
That's a really provocative claim, that crises are inevitable. Many economists would argue they're manageable, maybe policy failures. How does D'Amato unpack this further, and what does it mean for global events like wars?
He connects it directly to imperialism and war. Capitalism's constant, relentless search for new markets, cheaper raw materials, and cheaper labor fuels, fierce competition between nations and corporations on a global scale. This, D'Amato argues, directly leads to modern imperialism and conflict. He even suggests that nationalism is often used as a tool to convince workers to fight and die for the interests of the very elites who exploit them. Which brings us back to that famous call to action. Workers of all countries unite against those shared exploiters.
Now, D'Amato doesn't shy away from history's difficult moments, particularly the Russian Revolution of 1917. He presents it, maybe surprisingly to some, as the single greatest example of socialism from below. What does he mean by that?
Well, he portrays it initially as a truly democratic uprising, where millions of ordinary workers and peasants, through their own directly elected councils, the Soviets, took power themselves. And in the early days, they achieved incredibly progressive things, like legalizing divorce and abortion, pulling Russia out of World War I, granting self-determination to oppressed nations within the old empire. It demonstrated the potential, he argues, of a movement genuinely built from the ground up.
But then, of course, the tragic question, what went wrong? And what about the rise of Stalinism? Because many people hear Marxism and immediately equate it with Stalin's Soviet Union.
Yeah, and D'Amato tackles this absolutely head on. He argues forcefully, really passionately, that Stalinism was not a fulfillment of Marx's vision, or even Lenin's for that matter. He sees it as a brutal counter-revolution.
A counter-revolution? How so?
He points to factors like the devastating civil war that followed the revolution, the invasion by foreign powers, the failure of other socialist revolutions to succeed in more developed countries like Germany, and Russia's resulting economic backwardness and isolation. These factors, he argues, allowed a new bureaucracy, led by Stalin, to basically usurp power from an exhausted and depleted working class.
So the conditions enabled this bureaucracy.
That's the argument. And he makes the crucial, maybe controversial point, that the USSR, under Stalin, became a form of state capitalism, where the state bureaucracy effectively acted as a collective capitalist, exploiting workers for the benefit of the state and its managers, prioritizing accumulation and military competition over human need.
That's a critical distinction from genuine democratic Marxism, as he defines it.
Absolutely vital for his whole argument.
And finally, D'Amato addresses the relationship between Marxism and the fight against oppression. He refutes the idea that Marxism is class reductionist, meaning it sort of ignores issues like racism or sexism and only focuses on economics.
Right. He argues that while oppressions like racism, sexism, homophobia, etc., often predate capitalism, the capitalist system gives them new life and a specific function.
Which is?
Primarily, they serve to divide the working class. If white workers see black workers as the enemy, or men see women as competitors, it makes it much harder for people to unite and fight for their common interests against the employers, against the system.
So it weakens everyone.
Exactly. So for D'Amato, the fight against these oppressions isn't separate from the class struggle. It's an absolutely essential and integral part of building a truly united and powerful working class capable of changing society.
Wow. Okay. That was a whirlwind tour through some really complex and pretty heavy ideas. If we zoom out a bit, what are the biggest, most impactful takeaways D'Amato wants us to grasp from the meaning of Marxism? What are the core messages?
Yeah, pulling it together. For me, the first big one is the idea of Marxism as a living science, not dogma. D'Amato isn't giving us a set of scriptures or a fixed blueprint.
Right.
He's giving us a scientific method, a set of critical tools to analyze society. It's empowering because it suggests we're not just helpless observers. We can actually understand and change our world.
Right. It's not about memorizing predictions from, 150 years ago, but applying a sharper lens to our present situation. My second takeaway would be D'Amato's real insistence on socialism from below versus socialism from above. He fundamentally challenges any top-down authoritarian approach, arguing that genuine socialism must be the democratic act of the conscious majority, built by the working class itself.
Absolutely central.
Yeah.
And third, the book really hammers home capitalism's inherent contradictions and crises. He makes a compelling case that things like inequality, economic instability, even environmental destruction are just glitches or bad policy choices. You're sort of baked into the system's DNA, into its core logic, which forces us to question the whole idea that capitalism is naturally stable or fair or sustainable.
And fourth, D'Amato reaffirms the centrality of the working class as the agent of change. Despite all the changes in the global economy, you know, the decline of manufacturing in some places, the rise of the gig economy, he argues, the working class still holds a unique position.
Why unique?
Not because they're morally superior or anything like that, but because they are the ones who produce society's wealth and, crucially, possess the collective power potentially to halt the system and transform it.
Makes sense. And finally, and this connects back to what we just discussed, there's the indivisibility of the struggle against exploitation and oppression. He shows us that fighting racism, sexism, and other forms of oppression isn't some separate issue or a distraction from the real economic struggle.
Yeah, sometimes you hear that argument.
Right. But he argues it's fundamental to building a united working class. If you're oppressed because of your race or gender or sexuality, your fight is the class fight, because these divisions only serve to weaken everyone in the face of the system.
The book is definitely filled with these profound insights and some really memorable lines. Let's touch on a few of those notable quotes or key ideas that really underscore D'Amato's argument.
Sure. One of the most famous, and one D'Amato highlights right near the beginning to set the book's practical tone, is Marx's line. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point is to change it.
Classic.
Yeah, it perfectly captures that practical, action-oriented spirit. It's about moving beyond just abstract understanding to active transformation.
Then there's that powerful, almost iconic rallying cry from the Communist Manifesto. Workers of the world, unite! You have nothing to lose but your chains.
That's incredibly potent, isn't it? It speaks to both the international nature of class interests. Workers everywhere face similar exploitation and the profound stakes involved. What do you have to lose? Only your oppression.
And what do you have to gain? Everything.
Exactly. Another key insight from Marx himself, which D'Amato unpacks really well, is capital is not a thing, but a social relation between persons, mediated by things.
Yeah, break that down.
It makes you step back and realize capitalism isn't just about money or machines or factories. Those are the things. But underneath, it's about deep social relationships. Relationships of power, control, and exploitation between people that are just hidden or mediated by those things, by the market.
It changes how you see the economy, for sure.
Definitely. And D'Amato himself has a crucial, direct statement to clarify his own argument, something he might paraphrase as, Stalinism and Marxism are not family relatives, they are mortal enemies.
That's blunt.
It is, and it's absolutely central to his entire project. It directly challenges that common, very damaging misconception that equates the two, forcefully separating the democratic promise he sees in Marxism from totalitarian horrors.
And finally, the core of what he calls socialism from below, which is really Marx's idea too. The emancipation of the working class must be the act of the working class itself.
Yeah, this emphasizes the agency of ordinary people. It tells us that liberation cannot be handed down from above by some benevolent leader or an elite party or the state. It has to be built collectively and democratically by the masses of people themselves through their own struggles.
So we've explored the ideas, the history, the critiques. How can we actually apply these insights from the meaning of Marxism in our daily lives? What does it look like on the ground for you and me?
Well, D'Amato's book is explicitly designed to be a guide to action, not just theory. So, for instance, it offers a really powerful lens for understanding workplace dynamics. You know, that constant pressure to increase productivity or those feelings of powerlessness or meaninglessness at work, they aren't just personal gripes or bad management.
Right.
This book helps you see them as manifestations of broader class dynamics, of exploitation. And that understanding can actually empower collective action, like, say, organizing a union or just talking with your coworkers about shared problems and advocating for better conditions.
That's huge. It also gives us a new way to read the news, doesn't it? A different framework.
Totally. Instead of just seeing an economic recession as, I don't know, bad management or some unpredictable shock, we can analyze it as perhaps a predictable crisis inherent to the system's contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
Or view a war, not just through abstract national interests, but maybe through the lens of inter-imperialist competition for resources or markets.
Yeah.
Gives you a deeper perspective.
Exactly. And it equips you to deconstruct mainstream ideology, right? To push back.
Yeah. It helps you critically challenge ideas often presented as just common sense or the way things are. Like the idea that capitalism automatically equals freedom, or that greed is just basic human nature, or that there's genuinely no alternative to the market dictating everything.
Yeah, Tina, there is no alternative.
Exactly. This provides powerful counterarguments to those justifications for the status quo.
And finally, it provides a crucial framework for social and political activism, it seems.
Definitely. It encourages activists to look for the systemic root causes of problems, not just treat the symptoms. And critically, it emphasizes building solidarity across different movements: environmental, anti-racist, labor, feminist, by showing how these issues are often interconnected through the logic of capitalism and the need for profit.
So it's about building a kind of united front for fundamental change.
That's the idea, yeah.
Okay. This deep dive into the meaning of Marxism has been incredibly clarifying, I have to say, and really challenges a lot of preconceived notions I think many of us have. What's your biggest takeaway, the thing that really stuck with you the most from DiMatteo's perspective?
Good question. For me, I think it's the fundamental paradigm shift DiMatteo offers. It's moving from seeing capitalism as like natural, inevitable, maybe the end of history, the only possible way to organize society, to understanding it as a specific historical system created by humans with inherent flaws and contradictions that can absolutely be challenged and transformed through conscious collective action. It reframes our biggest problem, inequality, crisis, war, ecological destruction, not as inevitable human flaws, but as products of changeable social structures. And that, to me, is a profoundly hopeful and empowering message, actually.
I completely agree with that. And for me, I think it's how DiMatteo so meticulously and I think convincingly rescues Marxism from its historical distortions. He makes such a compelling case that Marx's original analysis remains vitally relevant for comprehending modern inequality, economic instability, and even the rise of political authoritarianism, precisely by rigorously separating it from the horrors of Stalinism.
Right.
It feels like a powerful invitation to move beyond just passively consuming information towards actively engaging in understanding and potentially changing our world. That core idea that ordinary people can understand and change their world, that still feels pretty revolutionary today, doesn't it? Just as much as over a century ago.
It really does.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.